22 years ago, nine men lay trapped more than 200 feet beneath the ground in a coal mine in Pennsylvania. It was a nearby older mine filled with tons of water and had been breached, and now that the water had forced these miners to a dead-end shaft about 18 by 70. There was an 18 by 70 foot air pocket that was illuminated by the lamps on their helmets. They rapped on the rock ceiling nine taps every 10 minutes, hoping someone using specialized listening equipment could hear them. The leader of the miners gave it to them straight. In another hour, he estimated, all of them would be dead. There was quiet. There were tears. There were silent prayers. Another one of the miners asked if anyone had a pen. He wrote a note on the piece of cardboard to his wife and kids, telling them he loved them. He put the note in a white plastic bucket and offered the pen to the others. Each man wrote his goodbyes to his loved ones. When the nine notes had been placed inside the bucket, the lid was snapped on and the bucket lashed to a boulder so it would be found. A third miner then grabbed a steel cable from the materials normally used in a working mine. He looped it to each one of their belts, saying that if they were to die, they would do it as a team and as a family. Nine men, 200 feet below the surface, unable to dig their own way out to freedom, facing the prospect of certain and inevitable death in a dark world. But in their heart of hearts, they just knew that there was someone up there above them trying to get them out. And if that someone could reach them, that someone could save them. But they had no way of knowing whether or not that someone actually was there. They couldn't hear. Barely could they see. They had hope, but they also had to face that reality. Theirs was a dark world with really no promise of salvation. And there are people who walk around us every day who see this world the same way, a dark and a harsh place to live. If you walk the streets of any major city, you'll see the symptoms and the results of people seeing the world as a dark place. I saw in the news just the other day that there were over 100,000 people in 2023 who've died from fentanyl overdoses. And you've all seen the pictures of San Francisco and LA and Washington and New York City. They all look like they're Calcutta, a third world country. What looks like we live in a third world country. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Now that's pretty depressing when you think about it. But there are people around us who see their present and their future as being harsh and dark and frustrating and pointless and hopeless. But Ecclesiastes 11 explains that one of the reasons this world is so dissatisfying and frustrating to so many is because God has set eternity in their hearts. God has given us an innate understanding that this world was not created to be this way. It wasn't created to be unfair and hateful and mean. And so when people see and experience those harsh realities, they're filled with frustration and confusion. This is not the way it was supposed to be. It was meant to be. Have you ever had anybody tell you, okay, you're a Christian? Well, where's your God? And I started thinking about that, and that must have been how the world first looked when God exposed it to the light. Genesis 1:3, it tells us, God said, let there be light, and there was. And if you were there on that, imagine if you were there on that first day of creation. What do you think the world would have looked like? The previous verse in Genesis says, "Now the earth was formless and empty." It wasn't pretty. It wasn't filled with life. It wasn't filled with hope. It was formless and it was empty. That's how much of life seems to many people who live around us today. They see it as empty and formless. They see little, if any, beauty of life or hope. But notice what Ecclesiastes said just before it explained that God has set eternity in our hearts. It said He has made everything beautiful in its time. If you'd have been on earth that day, the first day of creation, you would have seen emptiness and a formless world. But 2 days later, you'd have seen flowers and trees and grass. And the day after that, you'd have been dazzled by the sight of the sun, the moon, and all of the stars. And ultimately, on that sixth day, you'd have been seen the first human couple. A man and a woman, beautiful, pure, undefiled, filled with love for each other and God, filled with love for God. In His time, God had filled the earth, the entire earth, with beauty and life and hope. He made all things beautiful in His time. And you know, that is the promise God has made to us, because in Romans 8:28, if you would turn there, it says, He has promised us that in His time, not necessarily our time, He'd make all things beautiful. He promises us that all things work together for good to them that love God, and we love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, and we are called according to His purpose. Now, He doesn't say that all things are good, and it doesn't say that everything that happens to us was brought about by God, but it does say that no matter what happens in our lives, whether it's good or evil, God is capable and willing to work in the fabric of our lives so that ultimately we see His power and His love. He makes all things beautiful in His time. But there are many people in this world who don't see that. I had a conversation with my sister. She doesn't see it. She claims to be an atheist. She just doesn't see it. So you can't really explain much. If they don't want to hear it, they don't know about it, they don't get it. And they're totally mystified by that concept. I had a guy that worked with me, and he would come into my office occasionally and we'd talk about religion. And he was a creaster. He like went to church on Christmas and Easter and maybe a few times during the year, but he didn't get me, but I sat there and I explained to him the plan of God going through each holy day. And he asked me, "Is that true?" I said, "Well, according to the Bible, it's true. Yeah, according to God, it's true." And he said, "That makes more sense to me than anything I've ever heard." And he says, "Is that true?" I said, "John, of course it's true." You see, even though he was skeptical, God had placed inside his heart eternity. He wants something to be there. People long for something to be there. God had placed inside his heart the hope that there just might be something beyond this mortal world. There just might be someone out there, someone who could reach down into a darkened world and change lives and rescue us from our darkness and the frustration of this present life. Now that I've said all that, I need to say this. There are people who you work with every day, neighbors you've said hi to, relatives you talk to on a regular basis. Maybe they've been hostile, like my sister, to your faith. Maybe they're argumentative when it comes to religion. Now, you'll never win these people over. That's up to God. And you'll never win them over, certainly, by arguing with them. But in 2 Timothy, we're told, do not have anything to do with the foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels, and the Lord's servants must not quarrel. Easier said sometimes than done. He must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must be gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, that they will come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. You see, we don't have to argue or win anybody into the kingdom. That's really not our job. God has planted the seeds of eternity in their hearts. And that sense of eternity has put the idea into their hearts that there's something more to this world than what you can see right now. There's something eternal. And it's all up to God in His time. C.S. Lewis has a quote. He says this, if I find myself in myself a desire that this world cannot fulfill, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. That's a logical conclusion. If I'm not satisfied with this life, maybe it's because I was made for a different kind of life. If this world looks dark and dreary to me, maybe it's because there is something better. And as God's people, we've got that something better. We know the plan. We know what's going to happen. The people around us may not accept that truth right away, but eventually, in God's time, they will. And it doesn't matter whether they do or not. It is real. We know it. We've got it. They need it. There are people out there who live in dark and hopeless worlds who are just looking for some proof that tells them there's someone out there. There's somebody looking for me. There's somebody who wants to care for me. There's someone who can free me from this emptiness we call life. It was 22 years ago in Somerset County, Pennsylvania. 9 miners, 200 feet below the surface of the earth, trapped in a dark world, unable to free themselves from their tomb. They knew they had minutes left to live. They said their goodbyes. They made peace with it. They roped themselves together to face death with dignity. And then they heard the voice. Can you hear me? They couldn't believe it. They didn't speak for a moment out of fear that it was an illusion. Then they heard the voice again. Can you hear me? Yes, we can hear you. And that began the rescue of 9 miners who had long ago given up hope. It was when they heard the voice, they responded, that they knew someone was up there.